Money Sense is brought to you by the Ellenbecker Investment Group, three-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Business Ethics and Integrity. The Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com. Listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We are located in Pewaukee, just east of Highway 164 and Capitol Drive. We're in that great big beautiful town bank building. We are also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building directly across from Winkies. And now we're able to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. My guest today, actually my two guests today, are Taylor Ellenbecker, who is in our human resource department, and she's also our IT specialist, and she's my granddaughter, and also Paul Riedel, who is the CEO of River Run, and it is a Milwaukee IT firm that works with businesses, and River Run does our Ellenbecker Investment Group, and of course, you know, everything that we do on Money Sense is really about education. And this has been such a big topic of discussion. And we've got all kinds of things happening with businesses and happening with people around their finances and around their own security. And I thought, what a perfect topic to help people to really understand. And when I was talking to Paul, he says, you know, I just would love to educate people so that we can get rid of these bad guys, in essence, that are creating some of these problems that we're all being affected with. And I had the opportunity during COVID to interview Paul talking about, you know, some of the things that were going on. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Karen, thank you so much for having having me, and thank you for being a client. This is a great opportunity for us to spread the word. I get to be the self-proclaimed security evangelist, and I want to make sure that if anybody does have questions, that they get in touch with us after the show, or let's just make sure we're spreading the word. So thank you for this opportunity.
So Paul, give us some insights into what's going on.
Yeah, it's been interesting since the last time we talked. What we're seeing is a few different things. Number one is we're seeing a big increase in the number of attacks and the severity of the attacks. There's also a lot of unrest going on in the world between governments. And so when you see things like that happen, you start seeing even more attacks. And so that's why this is such a timely topic. And it's so important for us to really pay attention to cybersecurity. Since you and I talked last, what's gone on is, as I said, more increased attacks, but it's also people are starting to, they kind of are getting a little more complacent than we need to. And they're starting to look back at, boy, we've COVID flared up again. And so we spend all our time paying attention to that. Boy, how do we, you know, do we hire people? We got to spend time trying to find and hire people. Well, we cannot forget about security. And that's just a huge part of it. And both securing ourselves and our businesses, but also securing ourselves at home. And that's an important part.
When you're looking at, or you're talking with businesses such as ours, and we're talking to you all the time, of course, Taylor's the one that's talking to you all the time. What are some of the suggestions that you have, both for individuals and for businesses, as they can really understand this? And I guess maybe you could go a little bit deeper into explaining exactly what cybersecurity is.
Yeah, that's a great question and a great way to start out, because what cybersecurity is it's the all-encompassing tools and processes and activities that we should be taking to keep our data safe. And by data, I meaning it's anything that you keep on your smartphone or anything you're keeping on a home computer or anything you're keeping on your network computer or even anything you keep up in the cloud. Because one of the things that people think is, boy, if all my data is up in the cloud and I'm using the cloud services, that I don't have anything to worry about. Well, that's not true at all. We have to make sure that we're being really focusing on cybersecurity, all aspects of it, home, business, and cloud type initiatives as well. And so as we look at the cloud, or as we look at cybersecurity, it's really good to understand where are the risks. And you do that by understanding and looking at where is your data being stored, what services are you utilizing, and how many people need access to that information that you're storing and saving and things like that. So again, as we start out with this topic, it's really important for us to know what we've got and, you know, what we're running, what tools we're using, what applications we're running, and then what data we have, as I said.
You know, Paul, everybody always complains that technology moves so fast that you put something in and 2 weeks later it changes. And how do people keep up with what's going on in the market and know when there's better things that are available to them?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because if we look at one of the things with cybersecurity is there has to be constant learning, and you do have to take time to stay aware of what are the current and the most up-to-date security tools and methods and things like that. So I suggest, you know, finding some trusted security advisors, and it doesn't have to be mean people, but it's an organization. There's specific websites that are out there that will help you find more information out. We put a lot of information on the River Run website for clients to just go and grab, and what's new and what's out there. There's also news feeds that you can take advantage of to just be sent what's the latest, greatest thing that you need to be thinking about. And you're right that people do have that perception that, boy, in technology, things are changing all the time. And that's true, but the basics aren't changing. And what I mean by that is, if we start comparing cybersecurity and securing our data the same way we compare to our house, it's the world's changed in our home lives as well. We've got double locks now. We've got locks that we can open with our smartphones. We've got alarm systems. We've got the Ring doorbell. We've got all these extra tools now to keep us safe at home. Well, it's the same thing with the cybersecurity. We've got the extra tools, but there are the basics. And so one of the biggest basics that I'm going to strongly recommend that all people have is what they call multi-factor authentication. And what multi-factor authentication is it's a second step that people take in order to log into a specific websites or specific sites. So I'm sure a lot of us have that experience with our banks, that when you call the bank or you log into the bank website, that you then have to get an alert or a passcode sent to your smartphone. Seems like a pain, seems like a lot of extra work, but boy, is it nice to be able to have that double layer of security, because now it makes it harder for bad actors to get in, and now it keeps you safer. So that's just, again, one of the pieces that we've got to make sure that we're incorporating, this multi-factor authentication.
You know, Paul, one of the things, and I'm just going to bring Taylor into the conversation, that I think happens is that when companies go in and they create new types of things like this authentication, or they add things to it, it really makes it hard on the individual employees, because everybody is at a different understanding or education around some of the computer things. And I know Taylor spends a lot of time working individually with employees to kind of help them to learn new things. And I think very often, if you don't have somebody like that and you bring in a new system, it's difficult. And Taylor, what are some of the things, I know that you and I talk about it, that it's just hard when new types of software comes in and new types of things, to educate the employees so that you're actually making the best use of it?
It's not necessarily hard to teach employees. A lot of people are so comfortable with what they know, and they don't want to try something new. And that's where I struggle with it, because like you said earlier, like, technology is always changing, and at such like a rapid rate that by the time one person learns one thing, we're already on to the next thing. The two-way authentication, that is pretty much offered on like every program or app that I have on my phone, essentially. Like, I find it on anything that I ever use. And so to me, it's surprising when I'm talking to other employees and like they don't use it for anything, or they've never even tried it before, because it's just such a staple in security now.
Yeah, that's really a great point, Taylor, because it is a next step. And again, going back to the house analogy, we used to be able to just have one little key, one little door lock, and get in the house. Well, now you've got multiple locks. You've got the alarm system you have to do. There's all these extra steps, but they are designed to keep you safe. And so this is one of those tools that's very easy to incorporate. And it's nice to be able to use, but it is one more step. It's a little more inconvenient, but it is worth the, hey, I want to have to learn something new to keep myself safe.
Right. And Paul, like, in your experience, how do you teach like new employees or help them get over that hump that they struggle with into like learning some new stuff?
Like the word called fear.
Technology.
Well, the word called fear.
It's, you know, it's number one is there's got to be repetition. We've got to make sure that we're not just saying, oh yeah, here's how it works, and then leave it like that. It's putting it in place and then checking and so on. And it is the once people start using it, they'll forget. In another 3 months, after multi-factor authentication is in use in the businesses or at home even, you just forget. It becomes second nature. Same way it's second nature to unlock two locks when you're going through your front door. Those are the big things that we have to do is just the repetition. It's kind of like in the wonderful world of marketing, they say you have to say something 7 times before somebody even comes close to hearing a message. Well, in this case, this multi-factor authentication, we got to tell them 7 times that it's out there and this is why. And it just helps them understand. The other thing that we find is really beneficial is to have some end user training and a structured training class where you have, you invite groups of people to come in and talk. And during that, you talk about what are the risks that we face? Because the average ransom situation and cyber attack that when the bad actors get through is approximately $726,000 all in. And some of that's covered by insurance, some of that's not covered by insurance. And it includes a lot of different aspects. It includes having to pay a ransom to the bad actors. It includes the legal fees that you have. It includes the security specialists that you're incorporating. It includes fixing the system. There's just all these pieces that are so expensive that, yeah, you know what? Taking an extra 2 minutes to log into a website because you have to activate something else, that sure is worth it. Because the loss in revenue or the loss in dollars that just go out of your pockets becomes unbelievably huge.
Right. And it's kind of like, it's as basic as knowledge. If our employees know that these are the consequences, maybe then they won't question why you have to do that or take that extra step. Or like, I know it's a headache, but this is better in the long run.
Right on. That's perfect. That's perfect.
My guest today is Paul Riedel. He is the CEO of River Run, which is a Milwaukee IT firm, and he works with businesses and he works with Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we are really always very happy to have him as a resource and to help us to understand how we can best protect our clients, because that's what it really comes down to, is how do we protect our clients and how do we protect our employees as well. My other guest is Taylor Ellenbecker. She is with the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and she is an HR and also an IT specialist, and really helps our employees to integrate some of these things that we think are really important. And when we come back, Paul, you mentioned something, people working at home. Let's talk about this whole idea of now so many people are working from home, and what is the impact, and how can we protect our employees and protect our clients when people aren't right in the office as they were before. With that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Paul Riedel. He is the CEO of River Run. If you would like to know more about them, you can go to river-run.com. Or you can also reach out to Paul at paul@riverrun.com with any questions. And they have a lot of good information on their website. And my second guest is Taylor Ellenbecker. She is an HR and an IT specialist for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We talked about working from home. And I know that when COVID hit and all of our employees were at home, we had to really work very closely with you to figure out how to protect computers, how to protect information, how people could work in an environment that was so new. And that was a really, you know, we're in finance. I mean, every business is really all about confidentiality. And that's such an important piece. Can you talk a little bit about that, Paul?
Oh, I'd be happy to. The interesting thing about this new normal that we have is that people are working working from home and they're working from their cabins up north because they need to isolate themselves, or they're working at the office. And so because of that, it's wonderful to have that flexibility and that freedom, but there's also risks that are associated with it, as you've identified, Karen. And the great part about, you know, your organization, Karen, is that you all do take security so seriously, and the tools that you've put in place and the education that you do provide to your people, that just helps make sure that your clients and their information is protected as well. And that's one of the big points that we want to make, is that we can do so much as organizations, but the end users, when they're doing this at home, they have to be thinking about this and staying on top of it. So the main thing is education, making sure you're getting the education on what type of things you should be doing at home and staying on top of it. The other thing, big one, is passwords. You want to make sure that you have a password for every site that you're going into, every application that you're going into as well, and that password is unique for each one of those applications. You don't want to have a shared password that covers all of your stuff. And you want to have complexity in the password. That's another big thing. Another part to this is that if you are using a computer to get into your office, is that you're using a computer that's dedicated to to your business. That you're not using, the kids use it as a gaming machine in the morning or the afternoon, and then you're using it at night to get in. The reason that I'm very adamant about that is because when you start looking at gaming machines, the kids are downloading things, or if you're a gamer, that you're downloading different things to try new games. There's a lot of cool new games out there. Well, you don't know what those games are inviting in or bringing in. And so you don't want that to mix with your business and pleasure. Definitely don't want that to mix. So I'm saying, have a separate gaming machine. Wi-Fi in the house, that's a fantastic tool because it gives you the freedom to just move around the house. You've got to make sure, though, that your wireless access points are secured. And a lot of times the people will say, well, it's in my router that I got from AT&T or I got from Spectrum. It's in there. It's that's my wireless. Well, that's great, but you have to make sure there's security around that wireless, because you don't want somebody on the outside to be able to, you know, outside of your house, to be able to log into your wireless and be able to monitor what's going on your system is there. Another thing that we really recommend is that you're just extremely suspicious and aware of who's asking for information. So if somebody, if you're online and you're filling in a form, be real selective on what information you have. And then a side trick, another trick that we have and that we actually incorporate, is having having basically a kind of a spam email account. And what I mean by that is that instead of having a paul@river-run.com account and using that when I register on some sites, if I'm on a site that I'm not sure I want to get information from regularly, or I'm not sure of the site, I'll use a different account that's separated from my business account, so that site is out there. And then when they start barraging me with spam, it's not affecting me regularly, or they start sending me evil emails that are trying to get me to click on the wrong thing. That's separate from my regular email. And it's something that I go into purposefully. Because if you think about the biggest issues that happen, it's caused by end users clicking on something in an email that they shouldn't have clicked on. They've accepted it and they've said, hey, yeah, let's fire this up. Or, oh gosh, I've got to change my registration at ABC company, so I click on that. What that does is it invites the bad actors in, and it doesn't matter how much security you have, you've now just invited them in. Now we got to stop them when they get in. And so a lot of that happens because we're so busy. We're trying to be superhumans. We're trying to be fantastic spouses or fantastic parents and fantastic, just unbelievably great home people. But we're also trying to be these fantastic business people. And we're blending the worlds now because of us. So what happens is now we're trying to do some emails, and somebody, our child comes and says, hey, dad, I need some attention. So then I'm like, well, let me just click on this real fast and then I'll give you the attention. No, you got to keep those two worlds separate. And when you're working, you got to be working and stay focused on working, because then you decrease the mistakes you make. And when you're a parent, or when you're a spouse, or when you're a friend, you got to make sure that you're staying involved in just that world. Blending makes it more complex.
So, Paul, let's just say that I've got a business meeting coming up and I'm either at a club or I'm at Starbucks and I'm waiting. I've got 10 or 15 minutes and I think I'm going to look at my emails and I'm going to do some stuff. How secure is my computer in a situation like that?
That's a great question, and it's something that we get regularly. There's two different aspects to that. Number one is on your smartphone. If you're just using the smartphone and you're jumping onto their wireless, you're opening yourself up for more. There's more risk there. Or if you're sitting in a coffee shop and you open your notebook and you connect to the Wi-Fi there, you're opening yourself up because those are public Wi-Fis. There's no passwords associated with them. They're just giving you a pipe. People can sit on that pipe and they can watch what's going on at that time. So the best thing to do is if you have to do business and you're sitting in a coffee shop, would be to use a hotspot that's built into your phone. They have most of the phones have a hotspot, which means that that's giving you a pipe to the internet that's yours, and it's got more security built into it as well. So I don't recommend using the free Wi-Fi in any type situation.
My rule of thumb is to just never connect to any Wi-Fi I don't know. So anywhere I go, Starbucks, Caribou Coffee, Target, never connect to any of them. It just seems too sketchy to me. And I always just wait till I get home. Or like you said, the iPhone hotspots, two clicks and they're on and you can connect to them easy. You set your own password, super simple.
That's even better than my advice, Taylor. That's perfect.
And, you know, Paul, I was talking to Jim Temer yesterday, and he is the CEO of the Better Business Bureau. And he was telling me that one of the biggest scams that is out there right now is people buying clothing and buying things online. This with COVID really changed it, where everybody is online. And the reason the scammers are is they have, it looks like it's a great site, but what you're saying is every time you click on one of these sites, you're opening yourself up for some kind of problem, some kind of cybersecurity problem. And he said it's on Facebook and it's on all these different places. They look like they're real, and all of a sudden you're giving your information. And this is another thing where I think people can really identify, how is this practical in my world that I'm living in?
Right. That's the fact that the bad actors are getting so much more creative, so much more skilled. They can imitate the Target logo wonderfully, and they can get the site looks very targety. But you've got to look again, really look at URLs, really look at where messages are coming from to see if they're true. You know, is it coming from a target.com or is it coming from badactors@target.pdq.com. You know, again, you have to really make sure that you're paying attention to where things are coming from. And then that gets back to the awareness and suspicion that I talked about. But then it's got that old phrase now, or I don't know if it's an old phrase, but the phrase is, you know, when in doubt, toss it out. Again, and if it seems too good to be true, it is. Get rid of it. Because a lot of people fall victim to the, hey, you know what? I can give you a $200 free gift card if you just click this button, and all we need is some 10 minutes of your time. Well, yeah, they're taking your time and your money and your information, and then they're going to have their way with it. So that's what you want to make sure that you're just being suspicious. And I know that's not a nice thing to say, and it's so just daunting in this world, but we got to be suspicious of what's coming through.
Well, I get all those emails about like Apple, like, oh my gosh, your password is expired or your password needs to be changed. And Apple, and I use so many different Apple products. So it's kind of like, oh my gosh, is something wrong? What I try to do with anything that I get those suspicious emails is A, call the company directly, ask, and then they'll tell me, oh no, you're fine. Or if you like close out of the email and then open up a new browser and then log into your Apple account from the Apple website, it will give you all that information if your account is like suspicious or you need to do anything. But I try to avoid the email itself.
That's perfect. Again, you keep control of the situation. And what you're saying in Taylor and your activities, I mean, those are just fantastic, because most of the new generation into the business world, they don't have your sensibility with regards to that stuff. They like the convenience, and that's just, I mean, that's brilliant. It really is, because the more suspicious you are and the more you stay in control of what you click on and how you click, that'll just keep everybody safe.
Right. And just better safer than sorry, you know?
Right on.
And I think you really do have to think about not just your own personal security, but if you're working from home, you've got to really pay attention to what's happening with your company and the security that you have there. One of the things that you said to me, Paul, a little earlier is that you need to have all these different passcodes in terms of anything that you're dealing with. Each one should be separate. You know, that is a real hassle for a lot of people in it. But I want to just mention to our listeners that it's such an important thing to do, but write them down somewhere and make them available for your children. If anything happens to you, put them in a place that people you trust that are going to be doing things for you can find them. Because one of the hassles that we have, every bank, everything now and paying online, is something happens to you, you get sick, and whoever's going to step in and help you can't find anything, and they can't get into anything that you have. That makes it really tricky.
Right. And I mean, that's some sound advice, Karen, because it is the world's, we're encouraging passwords all over the place. But it is making sure that people know how to get to your passwords and the people you trust, as you said, definitely. But the other thing, there are password management tools out there that you can use, and that allows you to keep all of your passwords in one spot. And then it even can be taken to the point where that tool, you can go into it and you can click on ABC company, and it will then take you to that website, take you to the login, so that you can get through the login script a little more efficiently, but also maintain the security and the multi-factor authentication that we're talking about. But yes, detailing what you've got and the passwords and how to get to the passwords, that's a critical piece.
You know, Paul, often I've got an iPhone and it'll come up when I'm purchasing something from Athletica or whatever. And it'll say, do you want to save this password? And I generally say, no. Is it safe to let them save that password and it goes someplace in your phone? I don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
Into space.
Oh, Karen, that's again, brilliant. Don't take the easy route. Don't say yes, save the password. I even go so far as don't save any of the information. I don't want to save my login name. I don't want to save any type of password that would be involved, because of the fact that, again, my phone's passworded, yes, but if somebody gets in, can they get past it and get in? I like to make it very, very difficult. So I use unusual usernames as well. I don't just do, you know, wherever I can, I don't just use my email. I use a different username, throw a few numbers in there. So that's, boom, one little layer. Then it's the password is more complex as well. So that's great. You don't have people, or you don't save your passwords.
Paul, this is all pretty scary stuff, but you can simplify it. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My two guests today are Paul Riedel. He is the CEO of River Run, which is an IT firm that works with businesses. And if you would like to contact them, you can do that at 414-228-7474, or you can go directly to Paul at riverrun.com. My second guest that I will say at this time is my granddaughter, Taylor Ellenbecker, and she works in HR and is an IT specialist for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we've been talking a lot about business and safety. And I guess, Paul, let's just go for a little bit more and talk about what people can do at home. And, you know, I get so aggravated because I've got a smart TV and it's always asking me for passwords and it's always asking me to put things in. And I just get frustrated, you know, with it. And I'm wondering, how secure is all that stuff?
Yeah, again, great questions. I think sometimes the TVs are encouraging me to go back to reading books than paper, because yeah, you are getting constantly barraged with the request for passwords. You know, how secure is that stuff? It's as secure as you set it up. And I'm not trying to be flip with that answer, but it does tie into, what is your smart TV talking to get out to the internet? Is it hardwired to the system, or is it using your wireless access? And so that's, again, where when you're looking at your home system, if you're working with some type of a company that sets up a home theater or anything like that in your house, is to make sure that they are telling you how they are securing your system. Because again, it's very convenient nowadays to just throw on a new device, you know, a new garage door opener, throw on a lock on the front door, or a new smart TV in. And then what ends up happening is that you've now just opened up your doors to bad actors being able to get in. Now, again,
what do they do, Paul, when they get in? Let's talk about what do they do when they get in?
That's a great, great question. A lot of times what they'll do is they can get through and they can say, okay, I've got access to Karen's machine now. Now I'm going to just scroll through and I'm going to see what kind of files are on Karen's machine. Ooh, this looks like a nice one. Financials. Oh, let's see what's in there. Oh, this is the bank that she uses. Oh, we've got her PAT. We've got the bank numbers on here. So they're drilling down and they're mining data. Or what some of the bad actors will do, and this is predominantly in businesses, is they'll go in and they'll say, hey, we've got this data now, let's encrypt the data. And then we're going to take a key and walk away with the key, and we're going to sell you the key back so you can get to your data. So they basically have taken your data, they've scrambled it so that now it's useless unless you have that key to decrypt the data. And then they say, and their customer service is amazing. I mean, it's fantastic because after they steal your data or encrypt it, they're just like, oh, so helpful. And that you just have to send them a lot of money in Bitcoin, and then they get you the key, and then they help you get, you know, your system back up and running. So a couple of things as we go through it, it's they're mining the data to see what they can find. Sometimes they sit and they monitor email. They're watching for transactions. So Taylor and Paul are talking back and forth, and Taylor says, hey, Paul, by the way, send me that money that you said we were going to send. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, then bad actors, they'll jump in and they'll say, oh, Paul, this is Taylor. I changed my bank account information, send it to ABC Bank instead of XYZ Bank. And so then Paul's so busy, he doesn't do what Taylor suggested earlier in the show, that he doesn't pick up the phone and calls Taylor and say, Taylor, did you really change your banking information? Because Paul is so busy because he's got so many passwords to put in that he doesn't have time to make this phone call. So what Paul then does is he sends the money off to this new bank because that's where Taylor told him to tell him. Well, but that's not really what happened. Bad actors said, send it this way. So it's, again, very, you've got to make sure that what we're doing is that we're being extra safe and extra cautious, so that to answer the question that you asked before, Karen, it's bad actors are coming in, they're encrypting our data, they're stealing our data, they're watching how we work, and they're taking and mining it and trying to figure out where are we vulnerable and how can we get your money without working for it.
It's kind of goofy because some of these emails, because I get them once in a while, I get them on my personal emails, I get them everywhere. And it's kind of funny because some of them will be like, I changed my banking info, thanks, Karen. And I'm like, my grandma would never sign an email saying, thanks, Karen. And I just kind of always chuckle. But like for some people who, like, if it's one of your friends sending it, or they're not aware, or like you said earlier, clicking too fast, like that's kind of scary.
Right. And that's is perfect. Again, that observation is great, because one of the things that we recommend and we train our clients on is, again, being aware of how you communicate in an email. Because again, you know, Karen's not going to sign Karen when it's to you. Well, yeah. Just knowing how people sign off, and that's where we should have some type of a pattern. Because again, you'll see emails that oh, Paul said move this money here. And my people know, one, I will never send an email saying move money, because that's our rule, is I don't tell them to move money with emails. And number two is that if there is any doubt at all, they have to pick up the phone and contact me to make sure that it was sent this way. And there's even code words that we've got that, hey, if Paul doesn't use this word, then we're not even thinking about responding to this email. Because a lot of times they're not even saying move money. They're just asking for a little bit of information. And then they're going to ask for a little bit more information, and then more. And then they put together your profile and say, now they know how to get in. So they had my name. Great. But now they need my email. Well, now they need, oh, well, what bank are we using? And then, oh, they need, what other social media is he using? And so they start building a profile on me. And so that's where, wow, again, we got to be suspicious.
That is crazy. We are going to look at the business end of it, but is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners in terms of their home security? I know you had talked a little bit about, even, you know, we have to be conscientious about our mailbox and our mail, and we have to be conscientious about all of those different things, because that's where a lot of our private information comes from, not just email.
Right. That's a really great point, Karen, in that when you look at protecting yourself, yes, we have to have passwords and we have to have everything taken care of, but it's also the snail mail that gets to you. Where does that go? Where does it sit? You know, if you're on vacation, is the mail being picked up, or is the mail in a secured spot? And so one of the things that we recommend is for businesses and for personal is to have a locked mailbox where once it's put in there, it's not coming out until you have the key to unlock it and pull that information out. Because if you think about what kind of mail you're getting, sometimes you get information from the IRS. Sometimes you're getting information from your credit card companies. You're getting information from schools. You're getting information from all these different places. And again, they get that information. They start building a profile. They can start understanding your life. Well, that helps them just figure out how to get into your world.
And anything else that you might want to add to people who are working from home or personal security that they really do want to think about? You know, we can even put all that stuff in our cars now. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Right. Right. A couple of things too, that are often overlooked are, you know, the user utilizing the smartphone, and what are we using that for? So one of the things that we recommend is that one, you make sure that is patched or updated with its software updates as soon as the software updates come out. But another thing is that the applications that you're running on there, be real selective on what you put onto your phones. I know, again, it's very convenient that before you get on a flight, oh, here's a cool game that I'm going to play while I'm on the flight. So you download something. And then it's another neat game. And so you download that. Well, now you have all these games, and I'm using games as an example, is games on your system, which, okay, big deal. Well, but what happens is those games go out of date, or those games need to be patched as well, because there may be a security issue and you forget you have that game on there. Well, it's a good idea to get rid of games or things that you don't use, any applications that you're not using, even if it's game or weather or whatever, get rid of it. Because what happens is that it sits in the background and it just kind of sits there. And then some bad actor figures out, well, this is how I can compromise a machine now, because if they have an old version of ABC software, well, they're able to get into that ABC software. And now they might be able to get into your phone. So just little practices like that are, make sure your applications are patched if they're applications you use. Any applications that you have on there, you want to get off of your system. And then also clean out your email boxes, as far as if you've got the old, hey, deleted email box and it's turning into thousands and thousands of emails, clean it out. And that's something that I recommend doing at least once a month. If you can do it weekly, that's even better, because you want to get rid of old things that may have some type of bad actor activity in them, or potential bad actor activity in them. Just get rid of it. Yes, I know a lot of us have this need to hold on to everything forever and ever. We've got it. Oh my gosh, I might need that email from 1995. I might need it someday. Get rid of it. I mean, it really, it's just a discipline thing that we have to kind of clear that out, because we don't want junk around.
And just to like piggyback for like the physical security really quick, I'm sure we have to take a break soon, is it's as simple as when you walk away from your computer, lock your computer.
Yep.
So many people, like if you're working from home, you're working from anywhere else, if your 14-year-old kid comes up, starts clicking things on your work computer, that can send emails, that can open emails. Like just when you're walking away, just hit the lock button and then come back and enter your password. And it's as easy, and that will keep you safe too.
That's perfect. Again, physical safety, it's as important as the electronic safety that we're talking about, the digital safety.
My guest today is Paul Riedel, and he is the CEO of River Run, which is an IT firm in Milwaukee here, and also Taylor Ellenbecker, who is our IT specialist at Ellenbecker Investment Group. And with that, we're going to be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If this information is really helpful to you, and you know someone that it might be as helpful to as well, go to ellenbecker.com and go to radio shows and Money Sense, and the show will be there for you to share. And we really look at, when we do these shows, that we want to provide education for our clients and for our listeners, because these are things you might wonder, why are we talking about cybersecurity on a radio show that's called Money Sense. Well, as Paul was saying a little bit earlier, a lot of these ransoms, a lot of things that they do, they're not doing it just for pleasure and fun generally. They're doing it to get your money. They're doing it to sabotage you in some way. And so we really, you know, we have noticed within our own business, we get emails frequently that are asking us to do things. And of course, we've got so much security in place. We never transfer money. We never do anything without talking to the client. And they do. They have the ability to go in and find out from your emails, you know, how you talk and what you say. And they incorporate that. And you just don't, you lose sight of the fact of what that is. And it's just being mindful and looking at everything and being suspicious, as you said, Paul, just to the point that you're not going to get tricked and you're not going to lose sight of what is real and what isn't real. And so, Paul, let's talk a little bit about business. And if there are people out there that are in business and they're worried that maybe they haven't taken advantage of all the things that are available, how do you come into a company and evaluate where they're at and then make recommendations? And how does that all work?
Right. It sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. It's some easy steps. The first step is what we call a security foundations review. There are standards that have been established for security to keep a business safe. And so because of that, we now have the standards that we look at and we compare how does a company, their system compare to the security foundation and where are their holes? Where are the things that are good? And what are some of the things that we should definitely be making happen fast? The second piece to this is once we have the security review foundation created and a plan, we want to have a plan going forward. The big thing that we then do is we say, okay, let's incorporate this, some security enhancements. One of the biggest security enhancement, and this is where we have tools that we plug into a client system to watch different parts for the of security on their network and different access points. But we also have what we call a security operations center, or a SOC, S-O-C. We have a security operations center bolted on to the River Run service. And so the reason I'm making a big deal about this is this used to be something that was a luxury. It was a luxury for big companies. They all had SOCs, and that's what they had to do. And so that helped them keep their systems protected. Well, now what we've got is something that is designed for a small, mid-sized business. This SOC service means that we have professional security people online 24/7 watching all of the tools and making sure the tools are primed to their optimal. When something happens, we have tools in place that have artificial intelligence built in that then stops what the attack is or stops what the service is. And then it sends alerts so that we can jump on those alerts and figure out, is this a real attack or is this just some application that only fires off once a quarter and we haven't seen it fire off before? So that's a big piece to it. So if your company does not have a security operations center bolted on or part of it, talk to your IT team about getting that incorporated. Yes, it's an investment. Yes, it's something that's an added layer of security. But what this does is it really, really decreases your chance of having a security event. That's a big, huge piece that we want to make sure that we have in place.
I know very often I'll get an email that is coming from, it appears to be a company that we might work with, and there'll be a little box up on top and it says that this is to beware, that this is not something to open. And I know, Taylor, you've said many times, don't click on anything because the minute you click it, you're in it. Don't click it. Don't forward it. Don't do anything. Just delete it. And, you know, that could be a little scary. You're like, oh, I hope I'm not deleting something important. But to open up your computer to the bad guys, as you call them, it is a simple thing to do. It's not difficult. They make it very easy to get in trouble.
Oh, they make it so easy. And again, Taylor is wise beyond her years as far as don't open it, don't do anything with it. The other thing about
he says, don't send it to me.
Yeah,
just get rid of it.
That's my biggest thing is don't click on anything. Don't do anything. Give me a call. I'll walk you through whatever we need to do or any type of situation.
That's perfect.
Don't touch it.
Perfect. The other thing too, is that a lot of people will just delete it. And when it's deleted, it goes into the deleted mailbox.
Yes.
We want it to go past that. So you can do a control delete. to get it completely out of your email box, or if you put it into the deleted file, is just to go in there and delete it again, because you want to get it completely off out of your machine. And that's a big point. And as Karen, as you're pointing out, that's the biggest way that bad actors get in, is through email, because we're moving so fast and because there's so much of it we get that we have to plow through it very quickly. And Paul, so those are the things. Go ahead.
Another thought that I was having is, who needs this? I mean, is it just big companies like where we are and we're dealing with financial? I mean, does a restaurant need this? Who needs to have this type of security and this type of awareness for their business?
Yeah. The awareness is everybody. The who needs this is like the security operations center is anybody that's online. And I know that's a bold, and that's kind of a bold statement, but the reality of it is that we need help. We need help watching our systems and our businesses. I mean, a restaurant that has two machines in it, and if that system is used for taking their orders and running the kitchen and doing their financials and everything, and that goes down, it's as detrimental to them as it is to a big, huge corporation that their system or half their system goes down. And so it's, again, really understanding risk. And so one of the things too in this, Karen, is that we have to really think about is, how do we recover from risk? And so there are incident response plans that we strongly recommend everybody has. And that's just a one-page document that says, if you get attacked or have some type of a security event, what are the steps that you need to take? That's a critical piece of information to have, because it helps companies recover about 70% faster than the companies that don't have an incident response plan. Because it's when you're in the middle of a fire or you're in the middle of a scary situation, having that list of this is what I do, it just really smooths everything out and lets you be as efficient as possible. But it's hard to make that incident response plan when you're in the middle of a big security event.
So, Paul, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, the phone number is 414-228-7474. Probably easier just to go to paul@riverrun.com. You can look up their business and get an idea of it at www.river-run.com. And, Paul, I know that you're responsive. You work really great with us. I'm giving you the accolades that if you're having any problems out there, really give a call, because it's going to cost you a lot more in time and effort if you don't know what you're dealing with, to try and get somebody to walk into your company, you know, cold blank, and not have an idea of what you're about. I love it that you know us. You've been with us for many, many, many years. You know what's important to us, and you help us maintain the integrity of our business. Thank you very much for being a guest. Taylor, thank you very much, because you've been absolutely amazing in IT and helping us to deal with this. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and your financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great day.